is high, only you can see. For no one knows but you and me.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا، ذکر الله تطمئن می کند.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illallah. Allahu ya Allah wallahu akbar.
This is a short part of Imam Khomeini's viewpoints on results and outcomes of the uprising of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, peace be upon him. The fight of His Holiness, the Master of Martyrs, Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, with the government of the time, which was tyrannical and his martyrdom did not harm Islam a bit, they advanced it. In the name of Caliph to the Prophet, they attended the mosques, conducted daily congregational and Friday mass prayers in name only. Theirs was the rule of Islam. The content was un-Islamic, so were the rulers. The Master of Martyrs cancelled out their plans to revert Islam to the ways of paganism and thus say this too is like the former days and systems.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله dear audience welcome to a new episode of Spring of the Truth from IRIB English Radio. Well, about love of the world and lust for power, Imam Khomeini رحمة الله عليه said, "Don't raise so much fuss about how your house is and what conditions you live in. Search for that human honor, that virtue which made you victorious." Here, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi is talking about human virtues which help a Muslim in pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, in Islam, morality in the sense of non-practical guidelines or specific norms or codes of behavior for good doing, as opposed to ethical theory, are primarily based on the Quran and the Hadith that are the central religious texts of Islam, and also mostly commonly known moral virtues whose major points are most religious largely agreed upon. These include kindness, charity, forgiveness, honesty, patience, justice, respecting parents and elders, keeping promises and controlling one's anger, love of God and those God loves, love of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and of believers.
يا ربنا صل على طه النبي وآله
صلى الله
basic aim of Islamic morality and ethics is to achieve Rida Allah, that is the pleasure of God, or to make God's pleasure as the objective of man's life. And the importance of moral behavior in this is reflected in the 5 Quranic verses calling on Muslims to enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong. And hadith that quotes Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam as saying, "I sent you to perfect the ethical conduct." Again, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam reportedly said, "The best among you are those who have the best manners and characters." According to Islamic Sharia, a Muslim is expected to display good manners as bad manners and vices. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam is reported as saying, "It is not possible that you indulge in rebuking and reviling and remain righteous at the same time." This shows that moral actions are defined as those that result in justice following God's laws. Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh held this point that practicing virtues and humanity are the keys to victory and pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Good night to all our listeners. This is Iran Radio from Tehran, and I'm Asma, your presenter for the next hour. Stay with us into the early hours of this morning. We start this hour's lineup with member. This program covers speeches on a host of subjects by very well-known Islamic scholars and orators. The Gate of Knowledge will be aired next. The program explains the profound moral, ethical, spiritual, and social teachings in Nahjul Balagha. And after that, we have Viewpoint. The program presents an analytical roundtable discussion of various political and social issues of the Islamic world today. For Humanity follows next, a variety of subjects from the Holy Quran, which predominantly tend to be social issues, are presented in this program.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we will listen to the speech of Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani.
So dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Brothers and sisters, if you remember from our last session, the title was The God of Fatima. The God of Fatima. And we were focusing on two of Allah's beautiful names. Allah has many beautiful names. We were focused on two of Allah's beautiful names, and the idea was to have these two names sit into our heart, to actualize, to realize these two names. Those two names, brothers and sisters, one of them was Kabir. Allah is Al-Kabir, but to really believe that He is great. And the second one was Al-Azim. Allah is grand. So the idea was to have some discussions where we would try to make this part of our collective existence. Now, we did take a few steps over the last three lectures, last thing. We took a few steps, but we're not out of the woods yet. We definitely haven't achieved those objectives that we were trying to get from this lecture series. If we're able to do this correctly, as a community, and I'll mention why it's so important for us as a community to do this, but inshallah, that's next. What are the objectives? What happens if myself or any of you or us as a community, we are able to come to the conclusion, and not talking about lip service, but really to believe that Allah is Azim, Allah is Kabir. What happens to a community that believes in that way? To individuals who have embraced those two names of Allah. Several things happen. Number one, brothers and sisters, inshallah, we will develop what is the Quranic definition or the Quranic expectation for the wonderful word ikhlas. We've all heard of ikhlas. We know about sincerity. There's a Quranic expectation of ikhlas that we're supposed to develop. So one of the benefits of this discussion is developing that. Number two, if we can embrace Allah with these two names, we will trust Allah with every fiber of our being. Number three, our fears and anxieties will disappear. If we're able to do this the right way, we'll go through life without fear. So number three is that our fears and our anxieties will disappear. Number four, the promises of Allah will be something that we can take to the bank if we will rely on Allah's promises. What else? Brothers and sisters, with these two names, if they're realized the right way, you can take the word despair out of our vocabulary. We're going to end up redefining the words honor and glory. If we're able to do this the right way, we'll end up redefining these things. What we will see as honor and glory is going to be different based on the understanding. We will also see ourselves as nothing before Allah. And I'm going to mention again why I need everybody to be part of this. Right? Also, our emotional relationship with Allah will be different. We're going to truly fall deeply in love with Allah. And this is just the beginning of the journey. But one of the results is that we'll really have that deep love of Allah. What else? We will also see ourselves as nothing before Allah. So we're going to have an intense feeling of humility that, brothers and sisters, we won't even be able to describe, but it's something we have to sense that comes from those two names of Allah. Lastly, two more things. We're going to also develop a healthy fear of God. If Allah is truly Azim, then I'll develop a healthy fear of Allah, and then I will want to stay away from sin. I'll develop that motivation. And last, our ability to resist is going to increase dramatically. We will actually find ourselves enjoying difficulties. Other people are broken by masaib, difficulties, they collapse. The person who believes that Allah is Azim and Kabir will be able to enjoy those difficulties and be able to continue to resist. So the person who's like this will resist, and there's no comparison between the two. So, as I mentioned before, brothers and sisters, this is something where actually I need the help of the community. These discussions are not something that I can just say on the minbar and inshallah it'll be fixed, right? We would need to all pull our weight. If we want the next generation of Muslims not to be floundering in the same mistakes that we are, all of us have to buy in. Right now, we're not in the situation that we want to be, and I just have to be honest about that. So, inshallah, with this, we can go from being mediocre. Remember, I'm speaking to you guys, and this is an audience of practicing Muslims. We're practicing Muslims. We believe in our social and our political responsibilities. We're people of wajibat, right? So talking to this community, for this community, do we want to go on being mediocre, or are we looking for excellence? If we're looking for excellence, then these discussions are for us. That would mean then, brothers and sisters, in order for these discussions to be a success, I have to look at myself And each one of you have to look at yourselves. Let's see, when the ayat of the Quran are speaking, are they talking to me? Is there room for me to grow? As opposed to, yeah, I hope you heard that, right? That's a different approach. This one, can I grow? Can I benefit myself? Because otherwise, then we'll continue to flounder as Muslims have floundered for a long time. Let me remind you of one of the hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says this, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, the Imam is addressing us, O people, Tuba liman shagalahu aibuhu an uyubin nas. Blessed, fortunate is the person who is distracted by his own flaws from the flaws of others.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
In a world full of confusion, of knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to IRIB English Radio. The program is The Gate of Knowledge. This is your host, Sayyid Salman Naqawi, and we are discussing the wise sayings of the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, as narrated in the Nahjul Balagha by Sayyid Rawi rahmatullah alayhi. So one of the sayings that we are going to mention today is about the favorable conditions for people in this world and the unfavorable conditions that we are faced with. This is something, a factual part of our society, an aspect of our society which he talks about, the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, and says that people sometimes face a situation where the world turns against them, and sometimes the world turns in favor of them, or the society in which he lives, the community in which he lives, they turn in his favor or her favor, or turn against him or her. And sometimes it's not due to any fault of his own. The condition is such that he says, وَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ إِذْ أَقْبَلَتِ الدُّنْيَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ أَعَارَتْهُمْ مَحَاسِنَ غَيْرِهِمْ وَإِذَا أَدْبَرَتْ عَنْهُمْ سَلَبَتْهُمْ مَحَاسِنَ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَإِذَا أَدْبَرَتْ عَنْهُ سَلَبَتْهُ مَحَاسِنَ نَفْسِهِ. Or another manner is, it has been narrated, إِذَا أَقْبَلَتِ الدُّنْيَا عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ أَعَارَتْهُ مَحَاسِنَ غَيْرِهِ وَإِذَا أَدْبَرَتْ عَنْهُ سَلَبَتْهُ مَحَاسِنَ نَفْسِهِ. So we shall discuss the translation and its meaning in the next segment.
Nahjul Balagha, also known as the Peak of Eloquence, is a compilation of sermons, letters, and sayings attributed to Imam Ali, peace be upon him, the cousin and son-in-law of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and greetings be upon him and his pure household. Regarded as one of the most authoritative sources of Islamic wisdom and knowledge, this book reflects the profound insight and spiritual teachings of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on various matters, including ethics, morality, governance, and spirituality. The eloquence and wisdom exhibited in this speech and teachings within Nahjul Balagha have made it a timeless masterpiece that continues to inspire and guide Muslims and non-Muslims alike in their pursuit of truth and enlightenment. All of this is presented to you in the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio.
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio. The program is The Gate of Knowledge. This is your host, Sayyid Salman Naqawi, talking about this narration of Imam Ali. He says that إِذَا أَقْبَلَتِ الدُّنْيَا, is if the world turns in favor of you, what happens is that even the good deeds and attributes of others are attributed to you. Even those things that you have not carried out, the good things that you have not carried out, have been carried out by other people. The world starts attributing them to you, and people start saying that you have done those good things and carried out those good deeds. So the situation in the world has turned in your favor. Your own good deeds are projected and promoted as your own good deeds. Even the good deeds of other human beings are attributed to you, and people think that you have carried them out. Sometimes they are, for example, you can give an example from literature, from poetry, from stories that are written by unknown people, and we don't know the authors, we don't know the ones who had created those stories or those legends or whatever. But people then started, those people who are famous literary figures, these poems and these proses, they are attributed to those famous literary figures, and people start giving them the share of the others to them, as if they were the ones who created those poems or prose or whatever, or any other art objects that are created by sculptors, maybe statues. We don't know who the creators were, but we know of people who are famous at that time, and we say that those have been created by these people. And on the other hand, what happens is that إذا أدبرت عنه سلبته محاسن نفسه. If the world turns against a person, so what happens is the good deeds that he has even done, they are not attributed to him. They are attributed to others. And people say that he has not carried those things out. Others have done them. So even the good deeds that have been done and enacted by those people, the world turns against them and starts projecting those things to be not his deeds or actions, but the actions and deeds of other people. So why does this happen? We shall try to discuss this in the last segment of this episode.
Sayyid Razi, also known as Sharif Razi, was a reserved scholar and historian who played a crucial role in compiling the sermons, letters, and sayings of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, into the book Peak of Eloquence. His dedication to preserving the teachings and wisdom of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, has ensured that future generations have access to the profound insights and spiritual guidance found within Nahjul Balagha. All of this is presented to you in the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio.
Welcome back to IRB English Radio and the Gate of Knowledge. We find that when the world is in favor of someone, for example, as it was said that in the time of Harun al-Rashid, there was one of his favorite viziers was Ja'far Barmaki, and he was considered to be a very good person as far as he was a clever person. He was a person who was very capable and articulate in carrying out his thing, his activities as the minister of Harun al-Rashid. He was a person who carried out good charity, and he was very outspoken in his words. And whereas maybe all these attributes did not belong to him, they belonged to other people. But because since he was found himself in the favor, with the favor of Harun al-Rashid, everything was attributed to him. On the other hand, when he fell from the eyes of Harun al-Rashid, everything that was attributed to him was taken away, and he was considered to be an outcast. So what is the reason for that? People want to seek favor from the kings and from the people in power, and they start, for example, creating an image of a person in such a way that he has all the good attributes that belong to other people. And they seek favor of the kings and those who are in power, and they try to give them those attributes which they don't even find in them. And on the other hand, if they want to turn against them and they want to bring a person down in the eyes of others, they start to attribute the bad deeds of others to them. So this is how it takes place in this world. And Maulani is just pointing to that fact. So this is your host, Sayyid Salman Naqavi, saying goodbye from the program The Gate of Knowledge at IRB English Radio. Till the next episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
مولاه هذا علي سيد فزمن ولاه.
beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Liaqat and Sheikh Latifi. Sheikh Liaqat, assalamu alaikum to you.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Sheikh Latifi, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam to you and to your dear listeners.
Does religion give us true happiness in daily life, or is it just an ethical framework? This is a major question for today's discussion. So let's talk a little bit about the concept of happiness and pleasure or lazza in Islam. Some people might say that religion is in contrast to, or opposes, it's better to say, pleasure and happiness. So some people say that religion might be a melancholy experience or a sad experience because spiritual developments makes you, we can say, a little bit away from happiness. Of course, I know that happiness and prosperity are two different things, okay? So now, let's a little bit talk about happiness itself and religion. Is religion a happy thing in core? I mean, when we get to the roots of religion, especially Islam, is it happy or not? Does it have a kind of happy experience?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Of course, I would say a person who follows the religion of Islam would always remain in state of happiness.
Happiness, okay.
Yeah. And everyone who would see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam would see him in state of happiness, would see him in state where he would always smile at people. So no one would smile more than the Prophet.
Yes.
And it is not fakeness. Like, he would really smile at people when he would greet the people. He would greet with happiness, yes, with a smile on his face. So, and the person we know ever who followed the most of the religion of Islam, like everything, whatever the religion says, is the Prophet. Mm-hmm. So definitely, religion does bring happiness in a person's life.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, right point, you know, whatever Prophet Muhammad was among the people, it was not a kind of joking or mocking
something.
It was a kind of light, a smile on the kind of tabassum, we call it, isn't it?
And there was once a time, I remember, I after I read this hadith, I tried to bring it in myself, like,
all right,
to smile at people whenever I greet them, whenever I speak to them. Until a point, there were a few of my classmates, they would always tell me, why are you always smiling? I would say, no, I got used to it.
Right.
I'm happy from within myself. I'm happy with the dars or the studies which I'm doing. I'm in the whole, like, my heart is in happy state. So they would really love this quality
That's
of
right.
mine. Like,
okay,
this is just, I would say, a ray from the sun of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi.
Alhamdulillah. So, how to distinguish true happiness from the false ones in our life? Because today's people on social media are happy with small things. For example, they make fun of this, fun of that, making jokes about this and that, and they call themselves happy. Even when you look at the talk shows, when they're clapping or applauding someone, you see, wow, the thing is not happy. It is sad, okay, but they are happy with that. So how to distinguish true meaning of happiness in our life, defined by religion of Islam, and the false ones?
It's a good question, actually. I think I do it, and then you see how you feel about it. There are two kinds of happiness. One is the fake happiness. And the fake happiness is when you intoxicate yourself with something. And you know at the end of the day, what happens is the difference is between the two happinesses. The first happiness, when it finishes, you actually feel miserable. Like the example that you said, There's this the morning after they talk about it, when you get intoxicated by alcoholic drinks, and then tomorrow morning you feel miserable, right?
Yes.
So the happiness that is shallow and empty and is not based on something meaningful in life, it's the sign of this is this, that it ends in misery and bad feeling. But then there's another concept which in Farsi and Arabic we refer to it as nishat, okay? Being lively, I don't know how to put it, having the joy of life, having, I think it stems from the sense of meaning in life.
All right.
And that is the kind of happiness that the brother referred to for the Prophet ﷺ. That never, because you know, in life we have ups and downs, you have to acknowledge that. If you think you're going to have a life that is full of happiness in the sense of you're always laughing and full of laughter, okay, that is not realistic.
And not every laughter is a sign of happiness.
No, not every laughter is a sign of. So you should be ready for those difficult moments in life, okay? And being ready for those difficult moments in life doesn't mean you overthink about them and anticipate them and even get more stressed. No, no, no. Being ready means that you have to have a source of reliance,
yes,
and meaning in life. And that's why, for the Prophet of Islam, you see him in all the ups and downs, like in the Battle of the Trench, very difficult moments for Muslims. You see that Prophet is actively engaged in all the activities and is a source of inspiration for all people. Hmm? And then, even though our
Imam al-Hussein on the day
also,
of Ashura,
yes,
yeah,
yep, when on different stations, you look at his sermons and his speech, you can find no trace of weakness. Okay, all things is satisfaction, okay, and satisfaction and happiness are all together in Islam, okay? So when you're happy with what you have, you are satisfied, even with one little thing, okay, can make you happy.
Yeah, so you see that, as you said, rightly mentioned and referred to that, that the narratives of Hadith says that as he was getting close to the moment of martyrdom, he was having a brighter faith,
definitely,
a face,
yeah,
and ready.
Yeah, brighter face.
So this is actually... this, I think we should make the distinction between this happiness that is fake, that is brought to you by the entertainment industry.
Yes.
Entertainment industry,
yes,
is there to intoxicate you.
Yes.
To get away sobriety, to the quality of being sober from
yes.
it. Or you're not sober any longer.
Okay, yeah.
You get consumed by this content. And then, as I said, the sign of this is this. After watching this episode of this series or that movie or listening to that concert music, just check yourself. When you finish doing that, you have a miserable feeling.
Again, miserable.
I have wasted a lot of time.
Yeah, yes.
The
and
comedy shows that are over there and the people are
so
happy.
This is
right.
The sign of
okay.
like intoxication. It feels great when you're in it, but when you come out, you feel miserable. But then, true happiness is... Actually, there is this thing. They say... True happiness is the feeling that you have after you have accomplished something.
Yes.
That is
exactly.
something. And then this accomplishment is based on the meaning that you have in your life.
Mm-hmm.
If you have meaning in your life, then
yes.
you have accomplishment.
Very good. Okay. Amazing. So, but why so many people are not happy with their life? I mean, they are not happy with what they are. You could see that there are so many rich people who are not happy, Shaykh.
Yeah.
I mean, so it seems that the true meaning and the true source of happiness is somewhere else. It is not in this world, I think.
Exactly. You know, if we bring this happiness and connect it to the verse of the Holy Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do the hearts find peace, basically. They go into the state of itminan. And this is the very state of itminan, or the state of, peace and security, which does really bring happiness. Example, just like Sheikh has pointed out towards a person, when he accomplishes something, he has accomplished a work, he has finished a work, and example, he has earned from, through hard working, he has earned something for his family. That amount of happiness is different than a person just sitting in his house, example, and out of nowhere just getting some amount because of
example, bribery or whatever,
yes,
like you say, this is not the happiness which a person is going to get from the amount of hard work which the other person does. Yeah. So happiness, I would say, is actually it's in line, or it does a parallel work with the religion of Islam. So the moment you start to follow the religion of Islam, automatically, like the way it should be followed, when we say, the way it should be followed, automatically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings happiness in it. And like example, لَتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, there are verses like, if we are good with our spouse, and if we are speaking in the way, like, of course, with love and affection, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places a different happiness. If we are good with our children, if we are kind with our children, Allah places happiness in it. And people argue over here, like they say, you know what, maybe a few minutes of social media, a few short clips, or a few funny videos will definitely bring happiness in a person's life. That is another story. Like the answer to it is, maybe you might laugh looking at the short videos, short clips, or memes, or whatever, like the funny clips and videos. Maybe it is for a few moments, and the joy or happiness what you are claiming, of course, is a kind of joy and happiness which would definitely fade away after a few minutes. Yeah, for time being, you are getting in that happy state.
Yes.
But the happiness which you kind of accomplish, which you do a religious duty, example, which you, example, you do perform a salah, or you are kind with your parents, which you spend quality time with your family members, or example, work and do hard work and earn for a living, is different than this happiness which you get from short clips and videos.
Yes.
And I would say this is the main reason why the wealthy people, there are few wealthy people, of course, who are happy, like who are really happy, because they're following the path of Islam. They're following the path of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, for which is the reason they are happy. Like in their earnings are halal, so they are happy.
Mm-hmm.
In their family, they are kind towards their family members, they are happy, you see, even while being wealthy.
Yes.
But on the other side, there are people who are working hard, who are happy. And they are, I would say, you would find groups of people on both the sides.
Yes.
Wealthy people being depressed, even those who are not wealthy being depressed.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for not for them not being happy is because they are not following the path of happiness. And anything, the path of happiness over here is nothing but the path of Islam. If a person does follow the religion of Islam, happiness would be his goal, and definitely it is destined for him to be happy
in
this world and the hereafter.
Okay. And keeping yourself happy in the hard moments of your life is really a difficult task. I mean, and this is that the concept of patience and sabr and perseverance and resilience, you know. We can say also the concept of qana and contentment show us in life. I mean, based on religious teachings, you can become more happier. I mean, happiness does not necessarily come from the a smile on your face. It could have root in somewhere else. It could be patient with your pains. It could be
patient. It's an inner state, basically.
Yeah, yeah, okay. That's it. So, are we recommended in Islam to, for example, every day, out of the scope of religion, make ourselves happy or something? Based on some experience or something? I don't know.
Do you think we are not allowed?
I don't know, through plays or something? Or
why not, actually?
Okay,
this
so
is
Islam is not that much radical, okay, in terms of the ISIS format.
No. Actually, I was going to tell this as well, that yes, we said that we have some forms of fake happiness, but it doesn't mean them being fake doesn't mean we shouldn't have them.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have them. I mean, the limit is important.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, especially when you do it in a proper way. Like, for example, if you create those moments with your loved ones, you try to have quality time with your loved ones. You want
the halal entertainment.
Yes, halal entertainment. We have a hadith that the lazza of a good believer, true believer, there are three share of it. One share is the halal entertainment that he has with his
family
or
members,
loved
members.
Right. So, yes, it is there. What I wanted to say was that if you focus on that meaning of happiness only, that's going to destroy your life.
Uh-huh.
So You have to have that as well. But again, even there, you have to channel it. You have to direct it towards a goal. Like, for example, when you spend your quality time with your children, entertainment, having with your wife or anything, yes. you're actually strengthening the core of your family. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's some sort of investment, some capital that you're going to use later on.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. Thank you very much. It was very kind of you. I really enjoyed talking to you. Dear listeners, to another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanillah.
Shining bright, you came to us. has no limits. Allah's love has no boundaries. For every raindrop that falls, for every ray of sunshine, for everything is under His control. You cannot see Allah, you cannot touch Allah, but you can feel Allah. He is there in every tear that falls, in every smile that shows. Allah is all around us. I am whatever I may be, but Allah has already planned my destiny.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
Humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salam alaikum. This is Hussein, and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program, we talk about Islamic teachings pertaining to humanity and mankind. And in the previous episodes, we started covering a very good book in this regard titled A 250-Year-Old Man. It's a combination of the lectures delivered by His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. And the first chapter of the book was about the life story of the Prophet. We talked about the challenges of the Prophet and the personal characteristics. And we ended up talking about the triumphant return of the Prophet to Mecca and the incident of Ghadir. In order to contextualize the incident of Ghadir, we decided to talk a little bit about Hajjatul Wada, the last pilgrimage performed by the Prophet ﷺ, and the Sermon of Mina, arguably the most important lecture that the Prophet delivered, or one of the most important lectures that he delivered towards the end of his life in the presence of Muslims all around the Arabian Peninsula. Because, yes, you have the cases, in other cases, that the Prophet ﷺ delivers lectures or talks and his will in the presence of his companions in Medina. But this occasion, in addition to the occasion of Ghadir, it is important because all Muslims from all around the Arabian Peninsula are there in Mecca. And it is their direct encounter with the Prophet. Some of them, this is the last, or some of them even the first and the last direct encounter with the Prophet. So this is extremely important, and the Sermon of Mina includes topics pertaining to a struggle in the way of Allah, unity among Muslim community, that all the values of the era of Jahiliyyah, the values of paganism, are now nullified under the feet of the Prophet. And the next thing that he says is that all the financial things that were not Islamic, that were un-Islamic. For example, usury. The usury income, the Prophet says, أَلَا وَإِنَّ كُلَّ رِبَى مِنَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ فَهُوَ تَحْتَ قَدَمَيْهَتَيْنِ. All the income through usury that remain from the time of Jahiliyyah, from the before pre-Islamic period, they're all under my feet, including and starting with the income, usury income, by my uncle Abbas. So the Prophet had an uncle, and he was a wealthy person. He had given loans to people, and he would take interest from them. And he said, no, I start from my own uncle. All those usually that, yes, people did before the time of Islam, they did not know that this is against the law of Islam or anything. But now that they know it, it's all done, invalid. And people do not have to pay those interests. So, again, he would emphasize that the only value that people have is based on taqwa, is based on piety, observance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence. This is very important, and it shows itself in the words of a person, in the behaviors of a person. And once you see a person, I mean, generally people can realize that he acts as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is here, as if he realizes that he is here. Not as if, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there, but most people forget that. But those people who always remember that, it becomes obvious in their behavior. So he said, yes, if you want to value people, it's not based on the bloodline, it's not based on the income, it's based on this quality in an individual. We're going to have a break and we come back to continue the discussion. Welcome back. This is Hussein, and you're listening to your program for Humanity from IRIB English Radio. In the first segment, we were talking about the topics covered in the Sermon of Mina, and we said the Sermon of Mina is very important because it's one of the last lectures delivered by the Prophet among Muslims, not just from Medina, but from all over Arabian Peninsula. And one thing that is there and significant in the Sermon of Mina is nasihatu a'immat al-muslimin, that all Muslims should have nasiha toward the rulers and the leaders of Muslim community. Now, what does it mean, nasiha? Nasiha, well, some people would translate it to advice, like you have to advise, and sometimes even it includes critical advice, like critical comments, and that is true. But the most important thing is that the root of nasiha comes from nus, which means well-wishing. Okay? It is possible that a person criticizes another person, but it's not out of well-wishing. It is because I want to show my expertise in a topic. I want to show that I